In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we want to begin reading in verse 1 and we'll read through verse 10 as Paul here makes some comparison type statements regarding the temporal and the eternal. He says, beginning in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 5, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we have put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal shall be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with our Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." One of the things that the Apostle Paul talks about in this particular passage is his desire, and I think it is also a common desire among all of us, to be with God. In fact, to be at home with God. This evening, we want to consider the song, "There's a Home." We've done a couple of these sermons talking about songs, and as most of you know, this one has maybe a little special place to me because of its history. And we want to take some time and consider some things. Basically, what we're going to see, I'm going to present to you some scriptures that come to mind, some passages that I think of as I'm singing this song, with hope that it will help you with a greater understanding of this song, as we certainly are attempting to do with lessons such as this. And as means of a background, some of you know a little bit about it, but sometime way back in my younger days, possibly even before I was around, my mom's family found this song in a trunk that belonged to my great-grandparents. They pulled this song out to use it at my great-grandmother's funeral, I think. And as you know, the words and the music were written by my great-grandfather, Lee Black. I think there are some other songs that were found there, but this is the one that was brought out. They brought it out to sing at a funeral, and it's been used at a lot of funerals since then because of its content. And it's continued to be used because of its content, not just because it's some special song that the Blacks have or something like that. As far as I know, it's never been published in a songbook. But I do know that it can be found in the back or front of songbooks from coast to coast, because everywhere my mom's ever been, it's been pasted in the back of the songbook after having introduced it to the congregation. I do think it was in one of R.J. Stevens' supplement books a few years back, but I don't think it is in his current book. And I mention that just a little background on the song. I don't know enough about my great-grandfather to tell anybody why he wrote it, what all was going on. But besides that obvious connection to me, this song touches a chord in my heart because it focuses on heaven. It's like what Paul's talking about here. It's a song that says, I know there's a better place than here, and I want to go there. I want to be ready so that I can be there. And I don't think we can think of heaven too often, because heaven, after all, is the greatest goal we have. That's what we're all about, isn't it? Getting to heaven, to be in the presence of God. That's why we do what we do each and every day of our lives. As Brother D. Bowman says, if we miss heaven, we've missed all there is. I want to consider some things that come to mind when I sing this song, when I think about this song. When we look at verse 1 of this song, as we just got through singing, I'm not going to go ahead and read these verses again, but understand that the text of this particular verse uses an idea that is used time and time again in Scripture. And home is often used to designate a place where we can relax, where we can get away from the cares and troubles of this life. All of us like to get home after a long day at work or a long day at school. We're glad to walk in the door of our house and know that we're home, where we're not going to be beset as much as we were elsewhere. Home is a place of peace and rest. And what this song reminds us of, and we'll look at some scriptures that match up with these ideas to keep our mind focused in the Word of God, is that the love of God has provided a place of comfort and peace. A place where we never need to be worried or troubled. Since God is love, then we can be aware that His place is going to be in the midst of love. It's going to be surrounded with love. And our hope is to reach this place, this home of safety and peace. And through Christ, we can accomplish this. Some passages that come to mind when I sing this verse. John chapter 14. Familiar passage to all of us. Probably one that we can think of at least a good idea of what it has to say in our minds. In verse 1 and 2 in particular, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." And later in verse 6, Jesus says to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus here assures us that there is a place prepared, that God has made things ready, and that if we will put our trust and our hope in Him, we can access the Father through Him. In fact, He is the only way to get to the Father. Later in that chapter, He told His apostles, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." And in verse 18, He says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Take note of what Jesus is saying there. I will always be available to you. I think that's a part of what this verse tells us, that if we put our trust in the Lord, He will keep us all the way through this life, so that we can go to be at home with the Father. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, He gave the promise, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." The promise He gave to the apostles in the Great Commission, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." If we put our trust in Christ, we know He will be there. That's been verified through Him being with the apostles, Him watching over and caring for them, Him answering their prayers, Him listening to them as we read about them in the various books of the New Testament Scriptures. God, Christ in particular for us, will stand beside us and walk with us through this life. If we trust in Him, He is faithful and just and will keep us all the way. As He gave instruction to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18 in a time of difficulty, in verse 9 He says, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many who in this city who are my people." Now, I'm not trying to tell you that we're going to get the same kind of closeness and care that the Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul was a special messenger and had the Lord and the Spirit in a miraculous measure. But as long as we put our trust in the Lord and we keep ourselves with Him, He walks beside us, and there is nothing that can permanently harm us. It may take our life, but if we are with Him, when we leave this life, we go to be at home with the Father. Hebrews chapter 13, the Hebrew writer tells us, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. These are some of the thoughts, the passages that come to mind as I sing this song, dwell upon these ideas and these thoughts. As we move on to the second verse, the illustration here is a place of light and glory. As we were singing the song Beautiful, I thought, you know, that song right there kind of fits with verse 2 of There's a Home. The beauty and the grandeur. But more than that, the light that is gone. In contrast to the darkness that surrounds us while we're here upon earth, the home that we have waiting for us above is a home that is filled with the light of the presence of God. He outshines everything. There is no darkness. Revelation 21, verse 23, and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. With all the darkness that we're surrounded with in this world, all the dangerous and dark things, to know that we have a place awaiting us when we finish this life that is full of light. A place that is described as a place where there is not even any night. It should give us comfort and strength and courage. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John said in 1 John chapter 1, this is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. These passages remind us that there's at least a sense in which we don't have to wait for this home to have the light of God. We can have the light of God in our life even now as we fill our hearts with the Word of God. And while that will be of great benefit and comfort to us as we walk through this world, I'm convinced, though, that the knowledge that there's a place where we don't even have to worry about any darkness ever showing up in any way, shape, or form is a knowledge that gives us comfort and encourages us to do what we can to ensure that we make it there. If we walk in the light today as we follow the will of God, we can be in a place of eternal light through the Word of God. We can see this home by faith. Note the second part of that first line of the verse. Through the eyes of faith I view. This phrase reminds me of the statements over in Hebrews chapter 11 regarding Abraham and the others of faith that are mentioned in the first part of that chapter, beginning in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. These folks died in faith, and we know they died in faith because they were still looking forward to that which was to come. They saw the city from afar. They didn't experience it themselves. We can go back and look at the life of Abraham. And while he walked through the land of Canaan, it was not his. He did not have a great people. He was just a fellow wandering through the land. The closest thing he had to something that was his own was a graveyard, so that he could bury his dead. Abraham, by faith, looked to, and we can do the same. Through the reading and study of God's Word, we can learn more and more about this place called heaven that Jesus and God equate with a home that awaits us, a dwelling place in the very place where God lives. And it helps us to deal with this dank and dark world to know that our time to leave for this home will be soon. Well, I used to read these next couple of verses in 1 Peter and James. Think, nah, I got a long time. Got a lot of things to do. But as maturity and understanding began to come upon me, I began to look at these particular verses as encouragement. As a strengthening factor. It's been a long time since I ran track. I ran for one semester in high school, and I always lost. I was always the last guy. And I don't remember a whole lot of things, but between that and other instances where I've had to run for or get to a certain point, I remember that when I realized I don't have much more to go, I was much more encouraged to keep on. I don't have to go much further. I can hang on that long. And I say this came as maturity. I'm not saying this is something that came in just the last few years. I'm looking a couple of decades ago. I began to look at these verses as an encouragement of, hey, I don't have to wait very much longer. It's only a little while. When you study the book of Revelation and you see the language that is used there to encourage the brethren, in a short time these things are going to happen, but you're only going to be here for a short time too. There's something you can endure. I can make it through a little bit more of this. Peter tells us all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. This is not going to be my fate forever. Soon may come the time when I reach that place of light. You do not know what tomorrow will bring, James tells us. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. I can endure almost anything for just a little bit. I can certainly endure something for just a little bit more. I'm already having to endure it anyway. If there's something better awaiting. The Word tells us that God has provided a means by which we can reach the shores of this beautiful and sunny home. Not through gathering up and stacking up achievements, but because of His grace, because of His love and His care and concern for His creation, He gave the Son. And if I just keep on reaching, that place of rest is mine through the grace of God. We believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus. in Acts chapter 15 and verse 11. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not our own doing, but it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Can I emphasize that we get to heaven because God wants us to be there? Because God desires for us to be saved so much that He did what was necessary for us to enter? Do I have to go back and remind you that it's not meritorious works? No, we understand those things. Paul's not saying that we stack. In fact, he emphasized we're not stacking things up to get the right amount. We're not earning our way. Soon may come the time when that sunny climb shall be ours through grace so true. It won't be very long until I can leave this world in its darkness and be with God in the light of heaven for all eternity, because God wants me there. And if I'm willing to submit myself to Him and follow through Christ, as the verse before has already told us, I'm assured to be there. Through my faith, trusting Christ, I can go home and be with God. In the final verse, the trust and hope that we have in the Lord, the faith that develops through our study and application of His Word in our lives, gives us the confidence that we will join Him in that home. There's assurance. And I'm convinced that because we belong to Christ, we can freely sing, I am going there. I'm on my way. I'm, as we sing in another song, camping toward Canaan's land. I'm going to a city. I'm marching to Zion. I'm going there, and I will be able to enjoy the blessedness and joy that is certainly ours when we see the face of our Lord in that home. I know all of us at some time or another have been a long way away from our parents or our family for one reason or another. And then we came back home. And what a joy it was to be back in their presence again. We rejoiced. Imagine what it's going to be like when we get to be with the Savior, when we see Him face to face, when we can stand and see God. All the glory that's been prepared for us. What a beautiful place heaven is. And what great joy to see our Savior. What great joy to see all the saved of all the ages gathering together around that white throne. And I know there are some that kind of quibble about talking about the loved ones who have gone before. And I can see where some might have a problem with that. I certainly have some loved ones that I don't think are going to be there. I'm going to miss them. But there's a lot of folks who are not here now that hold a special place in my heart that I fully expect to see there. And it is an encouragement to me, at least while I'm here on this earth and thinking with this material mind that I have, it is an encouragement to me that I will be able to see them there Now, when I get to heaven, it may not make any difference to me. I may not even know who anybody is. It may not matter. But it certainly is an encouragement to me to think about the fact that all of those who have gone before, those who are loved ones, those who are not, I will be able to gather with them with the Father. What joy it will be when His face I see and the loved ones, the saved ones gone before. Jesus in the Revelation says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Glory and gladness of being in heaven. Back again to John chapter 14 and verse 3, Jesus said, If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Just as sure as Jesus walked the earth, He will return to take the saved home to be with God. I'm going there. The Savior will take me. As we read from Paul, yes, we are of good courage and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And the words of comfort and encouragement that the Apostle Paul gave to the Thessalonian brethren come to mind as I think about these things. We do not want to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage or comfort one another with these words. Convinced that those who have gone on before will be there waiting. And there will be many that we love who are no longer with us, we long to see and to be with. Of course, the overwhelming joy will be being with the Savior and with the Father and all the rest of the saints. There's a home, bright and fair, fashioned by the hand divine. Prepared a place. When all the things of this earth are gone, our hope is to have an entrance into that home. The home that God has prepared awaits our entrance. Faith and trust in Jesus will allow us to enter. And that blessed home will be our place for all eternity. When we finish our sojourn here upon earth, today's cares and troubles may give us difficulty and problem. They may beset us, but we know there's a place of comfort and peace that awaits us. A home waiting for us to enter in. Peter speaks of this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 through 14. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolve, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to His promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. We know there's a home waiting the faithful. Peter tells us, since we know that, let's make sure that we're working as hard as we can to enter in. There is a home that awaits. I don't know whether you have these thoughts when you sing this song. I don't know how it affects you, but maybe tying some of these verses and passages in with the phrases and verses of this song can help us get a better picture and a better idea of what it is we're looking for. Give us an encouragement and a strengthening so that we sing this song and other songs like this. It pushes us just a little bit harder to work just a little bit more so that we remain with Christ so that when this life is over, He will carry us into the place that's been prepared for the saints. If you've got sin in your life, you're not going to make it. You need to correct the sin. You need to pray to God and seek forgiveness. The same letter where John speaks of the light of God, he also reminds us that we need to walk in the light. And if we step out of the light and walk in darkness, we've gone into sin, and we need to correct that. And we will pray to God seeking forgiveness. He will forgive us. The extent of marking it out as if it had never been. The other thing, when I read that passage, I always think of my grandfather. Whenever we would be around him, we'd do something he didn't really like, or we'd pick on him a little bit, or maybe we didn't pick stuff up in the living room or something. He said, "I'm going to mark you off my list." He told one of us one time, "I marked you off my list and looked you back in so many times I had to start a new page." When God takes me off His list because I confessed and repented of my sins, it's like nothing had ever been written. Not clean, pristine page. That's the kind of relationship we have with God. If we put our trust and our hope in Him, we follow Him. If you are perceiving and find you need to correct things with God, as we confess this, opportunities will not come to stand safely.